For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Phillies Today on Phillies 24/7 podcast for Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is Francisco Rojas. Have a fun show for you today. Spring training winding down. As we get closer and closer to opening day, have some things to update you on. Want to talk about potential roster battles here coming down the stretch to the regular season. So we'll talk a bunch about that. Talk about Taiwan Walker's outing yesterday. Potential concerns here. Jordan Montgomery, is he a possibility? We'll get to that in a second. And then to close out the show, we have to talk about a wild story that you probably already know about. But if you don't, got to talk about it. It's a super crazy story going on in Major League Baseball right now. So stick around for that at the end. So it won't be too far because it's not like it's a long show or anything. So, number one here, should we be concerned about Taiwan Walker? Taiwan Walker is not pitched all that much this spring because he had the knee issue, I believe. And, you know, I know he didn't leave for personal reasons as well. So Taiwan Walker hasn't really had much to ramp up this spring and much time. I think he made his third start, maybe his second start yesterday against Baltimore and did not pitch well. Did not pitch well at all. It's 7 runs, I think, 3 homers, 3 walks. Not great in a couple of innings of work. So Taiwan Walker, should we be concerned about Taiwan Walker? I'm not going to go as far as to say I'm super concerned. But, you know, fastball 89 to 92. You guys have already heard me talk about my concerns with his velocity. But I guess the question now is, with Blake Snell off the board, he goes to the San Francisco Giants. And with Taiwan Walker's struggles, should the Phils go after Jordan Montgomery? I know we've had this conversation, you know, all offseason. Should they go after Montgomery? Should they go after Snell? Should they go after another starting pitcher this offseason? And I'm still in on Jordan Montgomery. Look at the deal that that Blake Snell got, along with Bellinger and Chapman, you know, the other Scott Boras clients. Snell gets, 2 years, $62 million? I think that was the number, I believe. So Blake Snell gets a big, but he gets the short-term deal. And that's what Jordan Montgomery is going to get. He's going to get a short-term deal. It's not going to be something that's, you know, a long-term 5 to 7 years. It's going to be somewhere in the 2 to 3 year deal. I'm still in on Jordan Montgomery, man. For that short of a deal, I think Dave Dombrowski should be calling Scott Boras and saying, look, we got you. Like, we everyone's got you in a tight hold now, because we know that we can get your players for these short-term deals. I think it would be worth it still right now for Jordan Montgomery. He would be probably your three in your rotation. And maybe you can go 6-man rotation, just like I had talked about recently with Snell, that you could go 6-man rotation. So I think Jordan Montgomery would be good. I'm still in on Jordan Montgomery. I'm still in on it. Still in. So what say you out there? At @Rojas_media_ on Twitter. Let me know your thoughts on Taiwan Walker. And should we go after Monty still? He's still out there on the board. The last big pitcher left there on the board. Injuries and moves to look at from the last couple of days. Yesterday, Bryce Harper resumes baseball activities. He took batting practice in Clearwater on Wednesday. He could play in a game before the end of the week, probably as a DH. So Harp will be back before the end of the week as a designated hitter, most likely. Also yesterday, Orion Kerkering throws at AAA. He threw one inning in a AAA game at Carpenter Complex, allowed three hits and two runs. He hasn't pitched in a Grapefruit League game since March 1st because of an illness. And looks like the Phillies say there's a chance he's not even ready for opening day. So Kerkering throwing at AAA and not having a great outing, but hopefully we'll see him back soon because the bullpen, we definitely want to see what Kerkering can provide, the young stud can provide for this Phillies bullpen. So those are some of your injuries and moves from the last couple of days. Bryce Harper resuming baseball activities, and that's a, you know, that's a, you know, it's kind of been a talk on sports radio here at WIP, you know, the last 3 or 4 days is this Jason Stark article coming out. And, you know, is it an issue? Is Bryce Harper's back an issue? Monitoring this back issue? Is it a problem? Is it a problem? So, but he looks like, you know, he's going to be back by the end of the week as a designated hitter. And Orion Kerkering, he'll, you know, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but this could potentially, you know, open up a spot, you know, open up some more spots in the bullpen for opening day. Who could get that? Could it be a Connor Brogdon? Could it be a Junior Marte? Could it be a Luis Ortiz? Who could it be for this last spot in the Phillies bullpen? We're going to get to that in just a little bit. So some spring training observations and takeaways from this week, from the last couple of days. Ranger Suarez keeps rolling, man. Five innings, one hit, four strikeouts. This was the game against Detroit a couple of days ago. The very short and fast game that I actually produced. Was probably one of the fastest games I've ever produced. So there you go. Ranger Suarez, though, keeps rolling. He keeps rolling this spring in four starts, 15 innings, a beautiful, perfect 0.00 ERA, 16 strikeouts in those 15 innings of work. So Ranger just keeps on rolling this spring. And I believe I saw a headline here on Phillies.com. I did not get a chance to read the article, but it's looking like he's solidifying himself as the third starter on this team. Because, you know, maybe last year, going into last season, it was probably Walker versus Ranger for that number three spot. And you could probably interchange them. But right now, it's 100% Ranger. Ranger's got to be the number three guy. And this is beautiful to see. Just spring training. But it is beautiful to see Ranger pitching so well this spring because they need him to be that number three and to return to the form we know that he can, that he's been in the past. So because last year with the injuries and everything and not being, you know, ready at the start of the season with the World Baseball Classic, the injury there, it's important for Ranger to come back, and it's a good sign to see this spring. Like I mentioned there, short, fast game against the Tigers on Tuesday. Another tie, a 0-0 tie. You had Ranger on the one side, you know, flipping the ball, doing his thing. And then you had Jack Flaherty on the other side, looking good for the Tigers. Jack Flaherty with his new team this year, you know, coming from over from getting traded from Baltimore or traded to Baltimore. The second half of last year. So Jack Flaherty looking good for the Tigers, and the Phillies offense just not being able to get anything going. I mean, neither offense being able to get anything going with the Tigers and the Phils on Tuesday. Another tie. So there you go. 0-0 tie with the Tigers on Tuesday. Johan Rojas continues to struggle. He was 0 for 4 against Detroit. This spring, he is now hitting 156, 174, 267, that slash line there, with a 441 OPS. So Johan Rojas continuing to struggle. And, you know, it's been a big debate here. Who should the starting center fielder be amongst Phillies fans, amongst, you know, sports radio talk right now? Johan Rojas continuing to struggle has been a bit of an issue. And, you know, come dating back to last October. Last October has kind of gone right into this spring where Johan Rojas has just not looked good. And I mean, you know, Phil say that he's working hard and all this stuff, but he is just continuing to not hit well. So it's going to be, we're going to get to that in a little bit too, but with roster battles here. But Rojas not looking good this spring as he goes 0 for 4 against the Tigers. And lastly here, and I had mentioned this before, but, you know, just want to close out the observations here with Taiwan Walker continuing to struggle. 2 2/3, 7 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 3 homers, 1 strikeout against the Orioles yesterday. And he now has 15.43 ERA and 4 2/3 this spring now. So,
have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Walker looking to get ramped up, looking to get to return to at least close to the form that he was last year. So it's very early. We'll see. I think Walker said that all he needs is a couple of starts. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. All he needs is a couple of appearances to get back into the groove for this season. So we'll see. It's not working so far, at least not what it looks like, but you take spring training with a grain of salt. Hopefully Walker, you know, closer opening day here and for the start of the season can at least be productive. Roster battles as spring training winds down. So we had 7 cuts and 2 trades yesterday. Nick Nelson optioned to AAA. They reassigned right-hander Nick Snyder, outfielders Carlos De La Cruz, Matt Kroon, and Simone Muziati, infielder Nick Podkul, and catcher William Simonier to minor league camp. They traded a pair of minor league right-handers in Jason Ruffcorn to the Mariners and Ezekiel Ventura to the Twins, both in exchange for cash considerations. On Tuesday, they made 7 cuts. Colby Allard, right-hander Max Castillo, and infielders Rodolfo Castro and Derek Hall to AAA Lehigh Valley. They assigned right-handers Austin Bryce and Ricardo Pinto, plus catcher Cody Roberts to minor league camp. So you had some cuts there and a couple of trades within the last couple of days. So then now we look at the roster battles after some of these transactions or moves that happened, you know, the last few days or so. Now we got Rojas versus Pache. Of course, this is the one that we've all been talking about the last couple of weeks. Has definitely picked up some steam as Rojas has struggled this spring. But Rojas versus Pache. I think the first thing we have to remember here when looking at these two players, and especially, what are we looking at? We're looking at the 9 hole. The 1 through 8 of this lineup is very good. They're a stacked lineup. Very stacked lineup. Your 8 hitter is probably going to be Marsh, or maybe a JT. I don't know. But like, regardless, like you get the point. Like, it's a really good lineup. 1 through 8 is a really good lineup. Remember, it's the 9 hole that we're talking about. We're not talking about like the cleanup hitter here. It's the 9 hole. So what I mean by that is, if Rojas is a starting opening day center fielder, like, they're getting him for his defense. Like, it would be for his defense. They want his bat to come along, but it's the nine hole. It's not that big of a deal. Okay? It's just not. So if it is Rojas, it's no biggie. It's just the nine hole. Remember that. I'm going to stay consistent with what I've said before. I know it's like, oh, well, it's not righty-lefty. I'm still fine with platooning both of them just to kind of still let them battle it out in April. Let them battle it out in real-time games because Pache isn't a great hitter either. It's not like Christian Pache is this all-world hitter. I mean, if that was the case, then Rojas is definitely getting optioned to AAA, but he's not. Like, Pache hasn't shown anything in the majors really either. Like, he had some bright spots last year in the regular season, but so did Johan Rojas. So I'm still fine with platooning them to start the season. And I'm fine with the other options. If they want to option Rojas and have Pache start, fine. Then let Rojas get his footing in AAA. Maybe that motivates him to be a better hitter. I'm fine with that. Maybe, maybe they do the opposite. Maybe they option Pache down to AAA. I would rather platoon them, but it's fine. It's just the nine hole. Just remember, it's just the nine hole. Okay, so that's Rojas versus Pache. Bench. If Rojas makes the team, this is according to Phillies.com, if Rojas makes the team, one bench spot is available. If he doesn't, they would have two. So that could potentially still have Pache make the team. Or excuse me, I would still... if the one bench spot is available, obviously I would like Pache to make the team potentially over AJ Cave. But if Rojas doesn't make the team, it looks like they would have two spots open. So we'll see. We'll see. But it looks like that's what the bench situation would be. And then looking lastly at the bullpen. With Orion Kerkering not being ready, probably not being ready for opening day, you're going to have, a couple of bullpen spots. It's either like one or it's a couple. But either way, the candidates here would be Junior Marte, Luis Ortiz, Andrew Bilotti, Connor Brogdon, and maybe Spencer Turnbull as a long relief candidate. That's according the Phillies.com beat reporter, the great beat reporter, Todd Zalecki. So you would have some of those guys there that could be candidates for the bullpen if Orion Kerkering is not ready to go on opening day. So, I'd preferably, Bilotti is just somebody, I don't know what it is, but like I would like to see Bilotti make the team. He's had a good spring, and he's somebody I'd like to see make the team potentially make the team. He was somebody that was a dark horse candidate at the beginning of the year, and I think Bilotti would be maybe somebody to look at. Brogdon, I don't know if I necessarily trust so much. Luis Ortiz has had flashes in the past, and Junior Marte has too, but we'll see. And then you have Turnbull there as a long relief candidate. So but Turnbull, I don't think, having a great outing recently. So again, just spring training, but just saying. Around Major League Baseball, now we get here, like I teased at the beginning of the show. You probably already know about this story, but I had to end the show with talking about this day because it's just one of those wild stories and really, just craziest stories that we've seen in sports in a long time. So, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, has been has he been charged? Well, he's been fired from the Dodgers. He's been fired from the LA Dodgers because of the reports that it's just insane. He's just because there are allegations that there was massive theft over someone he worked for, Shohei Ohtani. Ipe Mizuhara being Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. It's insane. Over massive theft, related to illegal gambling, because it's still illegal to sports bet. in California. So it's just insane. I don't even know, like, I'm still, like, kind of speechless over it because, not kind of, I am speechless because when I saw the story come down, the guy seems like such a nice guy. Ipe Mizuhara seems like such a nice guy. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that Ipe Mizuhara is fired from the Dodgers because of this crazy gambling ring story where he wired money through Shohei Ohtani's account to pay off his gambling debts. And at first, I'm kind of trying to make sure I want to get this right. This is just like reports from ESPN.com and LA Times from what I've read. Initially, and I'm just going to read the cliff notes here from Dallas Braden on Twitter. So at first, rough timeline, according to Dallas Braden. Ohtani rep goes on record with ESPN stating Ohtani transferred $4.5 million himself to bookmaker on behalf of Ipe. The spokesperson for Ohtani delivers Ipe to ESPN for a statement. Ipe says Ohtani never bet and felt bad for him and paid off his debt so he'd never do it again. And then a spokesperson for Ohtani says Ipe is lying after he gives his 90-minute statement to ESPN. Ohtani's lawyers then claim massive theft. And then lastly, Ipe then says Ohtani had zero knowledge of his debt or his gambling habit in general, which is no way possible. And he initially says that Ohtani did know. Like, I have a feeling that maybe Ipe said it at first and then didn't want to get Ohtani in trouble. So he says that he actually didn't have any knowledge of it. Because if you look at when this story came out like hours after the Soul Series opened, by the way. The Padres and the Dodgers opened the Major League Baseball season in Seoul. And there's video of them all in the dugout just seeming like everything's okay. I don't know. I'm not trying to speculate. I don't want to speculate. I'm just going to leave it there. It's a crazy, crazy story. I just think it's crazy that there's a lot still going to come out over the next couple of days, weeks, whatever. Just a wild story. I want to know your thoughts on the story at @Rojas_media_ on Twitter. Let me know your thoughts on this story. But that's going to do it for today's Phillies Today episode. Getting closer to the regular season, baby. Today is Thursday. I think we're getting closer to a season preview here for the Phils. So I'm excited. And let me know your thoughts on everything that was talked about today. The roster battles, and Jordan Montgomery. Tywin Walker, what are your thoughts there? Should you be worried about Walker? Should we get Monty? Let me know your thoughts there. That's going to do it for today. Phillies Today, Francisco Rojas, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.